1 Chronicles chapter 16. They brought in the Ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And as we noticed on chapter 15, they brought in the Ark of God. The Kohathites were carrying it on their shoulders as they were supposed to do. Remember, before, David had just put it on a new wagon, and God was displeased with that, and the oxen stumbled, and the ark nearly fell off. Uzzah put his hand out to steady it, and he got killed. And so David learnt from that mistake, and that's a lesson for all of us, that he did mess up on that, bringing the ark to Zion the first time, and yet he learnt from the mistake, and he doesn't do that. He does it properly now this time. So they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. Well, God wasn't, as it were, standing there. It just shows that whatever represents God can be spoken of as God. If you came before the ark, you came before God. And that's important to understand, because when you come to the language that's used about the Lord Jesus, he is spoken of as if he kind of functions as God, even though he's not God himself in person. Whatever manifests God, be it a priest, the ark, Jesus as the Son of God, even us as his representatives, the language of God can be used about those who represent or manifest God. It doesn't mean that they themselves are God himself in person. When David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of Yahweh. He dealt to each one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. So then he's acting as a priest, and chapter 15 we saw that he was dressed up in an ephod and in a linen coat, just like the priests. So he realized that although he was not a Levite, he was from the tribe of Judah, God is willing for people to serve him, even if it's not quite according to how he might have asked at various times. You've got to be so careful with that, as David learnt, with plonking the ark on a new wagon instead of having the Levites to carry it. You've got to truly be in the spirit of what God wants. He appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of Yahweh and to celebrate and thank and praise the God of Israel. On that day, David led the giving of thanks. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, call on his name, make his deeds known among the peoples, sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his marvellous works. So actually tell other people what God has done. Now that's a challenge to us, when as soon as you talk to people in life and in the world about the things of God, there's all a rather funny atmosphere comes over. And so this is a challenge. Tell all his marvellous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those that seek Yahweh rejoice. Seek Yahweh and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Big emphasis upon seeking God. The idea that you will actually find God, in the sense of finding out absolutely everything about God perfectly correctly, is all a bit of a myth, because God is infinite and his ways are far above our ways. But what we need to have is a heart that seeks him, a heart that wants him. And it's that seeking. Seek his face forevermore. You can't see God's face in this life, but we should want to. And then when Jesus comes, we will. We shall see God, and he will wipe away all tears from our faces. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders. Well, it's easy at the time when God saves you or does something wonderful for you to thank him. But the spiritual person will remember that and will be thanking God for how you saved me all those years ago, when you stopped me from having a bad accident, or you saved me from this or that. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, his oath to Isaac, he confirmed the same to Jacob for a statute, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, I will give you the land of Canaan when you were but a few men in number. Yes, very few, and foreigners were in it. They went about from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people. He allowed no man to do them wrong. So, he's saying, remember what God has done for you. Remember his covenant. Remember that you were baptized, and therefore the promises that God made to Abraham are made to you. Remember that he's led you and is leading you. Rather than just look at life as what's going on today at this moment, but look back in your life. Yes, he reproved kings for their sakes. Don't touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. It's referring to what God said to the king Abimelech, who was thinking to possibly do something wrong to Abraham, even though Abraham and Isaac had both lied to him about their wives, saying, no, she's not my wife, she's my sister. And yet God told them, don't touch my anointed ones. And he reproved those kings, those Abimelech kings. Just shows his absolute grace. Even though his people were weak, he reproved kings and told them, don't hurt my anointed ones, even though they themselves were weak at that time. Sing to Yahweh all the earth. Display his salvation from day to day. Don't be a secret Christian. Don't keep your light hid under a bucket. Declare his glory among the nations and his marvelous works among all the peoples. This is the spirit, of course, of the Great Commission. Go into all the world and take the gospel to all people. Tell them. Not about your particular denomination or whatever, your organization, but tell them God's glory. For great is Yahweh, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But Yahweh made the heavens. Honour and majesty are before him, strength and gladness in his place. Ascribe to Yahweh, you peoples, glory and strength. Give him the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship Yahweh in holy array. Tremble before him, all the land. So this is actually an invitation to people who weren't Israelites to come before the sanctuary and bring an offering and sacrifice to God. And actually in the Law of Moses, where it talks about the offerings and how they were to be offered, it doesn't actually say, and only Israelites can offer them. It never says that. So this was an invitation to Gentiles, to all peoples, to come and bring an offering. Tremble before him, all the land. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice. Let them say among the nations, Yahweh reigns. That is, God is our king. Yahweh is our king. So God always wanted the Gentiles to come into relationship with him. Let the sea roar and its fullness, let the field exult and all that is therein. Then the trees of the forest will sing for joy before Yahweh, for he comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his grace endures forever. It's not that God is just kind now and again, but when he forgives, that is forever. Say, save us, God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the nations to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be Yahweh, the God of Israel, from everlasting even to everlasting. All the people said, Amen. So he left there before the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh, Asaph and his brothers, to minister before the Ark continually as every day's work required. And Obed-Edom with their brothers, and Zadok the priest and his brothers, before the tabernacle of Yahweh in the high place that was at Gibeon, to offer burnt offerings to Yahweh on the altar of burnt offering continually, morning and evening. So the desire of God to have sacrifice made regularly, morning and evening, I think points forward to how all these years later, centuries later, he wants us to devote ourselves to him morning and evening, to have quiet time with him when we wake up, and that might mean setting your alarm clock a bit early, and to have that quiet time with him before you go to bed. All the people departed, each man to his family, and David returned to bless his family.